Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We'll have a little breather now from a very busy news agenda this morning, because last week we told you that throughout the summer we want to talk to some of Ireland's favourite chefs and bakers about their favourite cookbooks and recipes, the ones they keep coming back to time and again, the ones they find the most inspirational. And this week I'm joined by Rory O'Connell, chef and co-founder of the Ballymaloe Cookery School. Rory, hello.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Lovely to talk to you again.
You too.
What do you think makes a good cookbook, or makes a cookbook good?
Well, I was thinking about this this morning, Claire. It's interesting the way cookery books have changed over the years, because some of my favourite books, which we'll talk about in a minute, were really published decades ago. These are the books that, you know, as you said, I keep going back to. And they were like manuals of cookery, really. And they were, I think there was an assumption that people had time to cook, where new contemporary cookery books are, to a certain extent, a lot more about speed, because despite all the advances of modern science, we seem to have less time on our hands to to be in the kitchen cooking. So a lot of contemporary books are snappy and, you know, just trying to get dishes cooked as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
so I thought that was interesting.
All of the ones that tell us we can do things in 20 minutes, they seem to be very popular, don't they?
They do, however. I'm not sure they it does what it says on the tin, but there you go.
Photography plays a huge part, doesn't it, in a really good, enjoyable cookery book? The ones that you might sit down with on a Saturday afternoon just to leaf through with no intention of cooking anything.
No doubt about it. And I mean, you know, it's nothing like a glossy photograph to whet the appetite and all the rest of it. But again, curiously, the books that the earlier books that inspire me were really published before, you know, glossy cookery books started to have photographs in them, really. So so I find that interesting. But I do love beautiful food photographs, and definitely it can inspire you to get shopping and get cooking.
Well, let's find out now which cookery books are the ones that you love. And you've already given us a hint that you're going to go back a little bit in time. So how far back are you going?
Well, I'm going to go back to 1971 for one of them. And it's a book called Good Things, which has no photographs in it. It was written by an amazing English food writer called Jane Grigson, whose husband Geoffrey was a famous poet. And the book was called Good Things, and that has become a sort of an expression in cookery, in cooking, you know, to describe a recipe or a dish as a good thing, which is quite interesting because it means it's delicious and maybe not too difficult to cook and all of the rest of it. But her books were based around seasonal cooking and you know, just sort of dishes, the food that you want to eat at home, mm-hmm. and full of recipes that I describe as being a master recipe. So if you have a recipe for a tart, at this time of the year you might be making it with gooseberries, earlier on you'd have made it with rhubarb, later on in the year you'd be making it with apple. Those sort of recipes are incredibly useful for people, and that's the way to keep the cooking in the house fresh and interesting, and to keep you a bit inspired, because you can get bored, you know, if you just bang it out all the same all the time.
Well, it sounds as though Jane Grigson is a fan of seasonal eating, and I know that that really strikes a chord with you as well. That's where you're coming from with all of the things that you cook.
It's the beginning of everything for me, honestly. Whatever's good at the moment. So at the moment it's tomatoes, strawberries, the new potatoes are sensational down here in Cork, courgettes, salad leaves. If you can manage to score a few fresh mackerel, though they're scarce, they are as good food as you get anywhere in the world. So that probably leads me on to the other book, if I'm allowed to say, is the original Ballymaloe cookery book by the late Myrtle Allen. Which was published when it was published in 1977 first. And it's really interesting for all sorts of different reasons, because she was an amazing woman, and she spotted food trends and what was happening in food decades ahead of time in terms of the loss of flavour, the loss of habitats for growing certain sort of foods, the loss of the skills in terms of cooks. So, but apart from that, it's full of recipes that I still want to cook, whatever it is, 40 years or so, not quite, nearly 40 years after it was first printed. You know, delicious food, some of it sophisticated, some of it very simple, and again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of this item, that there was, I suppose, an assumption you had a bit of time. You had enough time to give a stew you know, enough time to cook to make it really delicious.
And we're all wondering now, why don't we have time to do that anymore?
I know. Well, it is a terrible pity, but the reality is that nowadays, that if there are two breadwinners in the house, they both have to go out and work.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's the whole economic model for, you know, has changed. And that has really, really affected things as simple as, incredibly important as the food we put on our table, you know. So that, I suppose, brought me to the point of the contemporary books, of which there are many, and many are absolutely wonderful, are more about food that can be produced quickly.
Now, with Myrtle's book then, are you going back to that for the classics? Or the more complicated recipes?
I'm going back to that for the classics, but there also ranges. She had a very light hand with certain things. So if you're cooking a bit of fish, it was clear there was three or four ingredients. It was a bit of flour to dip it in, salt and pepper and butter. But it was about getting beautiful fish and frying it perfectly. And, you know, and having given yourself a little bit of time to read the recipe and hopefully developing the skill to do that. But then there'll be much more complicated recipes as well in that book, you know, for sauces and butters. And, you know, so many of the recipes are based around a dairy because, you know, the cow is our olive tree, if you know what I mean. You know, so, and I suppose when we published that, we weren't so familiar with olive oil in this part of the world, where now it's become a very important and wonderful ingredient.
It's a really important point you make about the simplicity of the flour and the salt and the pepper. And you've reminded me that I used your salmon recipe a while back, which involves turning the oven right up, which is something that I didn't do before, and putting it in for a much shorter period of time. Perfect.
Absolutely perfect. You know, and a great recipe book is a great thing because some people, you know, back in the day, people learned how to cook in school, and we'd love to see that happening again in every school in the country, secondary school, there'd be some form of cooking. But, you know, when you probably knew when you were 12 like I did, you know, how to, you know, cook a little bit of fish or a lamb chop or something like that.
Well, we saw it happening, I suppose, whether we did it all the time. We came from a house where it was happening every day.
Yeah, and that the influence of that was absolutely enormous and so helpful, really. I can't remember what I was saying. I've lost my train of thought.
Simplicity. I was talking about simple ways of cooking things, and they're being forgotten now, which is why I suppose books like Myrtle's book are still so important.
They are so important. And the other thing about simple is simple can also be really quick. You know, so but that then will be to do the really important thing. That would be the quality of the ingredients.
I think with social media, sometimes we've convinced ourselves that we need to add lots of different flavors to very simple, good ingredients to make it taste nice, and often we don't.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt about it. Concentrating on your shopping and decent quality ingredients is really better in many ways, or more a guarantee of a good result than going and buying 20 different ingredients. Now, of course, some recipes, you think of somebody like Yotam Ottolenghi, who has these really long lists of ingredients, but his food is delicious. But, you know, it takes time, and there's a lot of layering, and there's a certain amount of skill, and there's words for ingredients you may not have heard before. And that's all really nice and exciting, but I sort of see that, I hope Yotam won't mind me saying this, a slightly weekend cooking.
Yes.
But what are you going to do from Monday to Friday? You've got to feed the family. You want something that's delicious and nutritious and that people enjoy. So knowing how to cook a piece of fish, knowing how to roast vegetables deliciously, how to cook spuds, how to cook rice, you know, those things that we rely on for the joy of food and for our nutrition and for a happy table, you know.
Yeah, but taste good, don't take ages, and we can easily get out on the table. Now, I'm intrigued by your first pick, Jane Grigson's Good Things. And I've had a look at her introduction here as we've been chatting, which I think is lovely and worth reading. Yes. Cooking something delicious is really much more satisfactory than painting pictures or making pottery, she says, at least for most of us. Food has the tact to disappear, leaving room and opportunity for masterpieces to come. The mistakes don't hang on the walls or stand on the shelves to reproach you forever.
And it's amazing. She's a beautiful writer. I have to say, that's quite interesting because from my point of view, having cooked for all of my life, one of the frustrations when you cook a beautiful dish that tastes beautiful and looks beautiful, that in 5 minutes the bloody thing is gone.
Yes.
and it's a distant memory. And the person who ate it and enjoyed it is thinking, what's the next work of art going to be?
I know, you've slaved over it for ages and it's gobbled up, which I know is a sign that it was good. But yeah, your masterpiece is gone.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
Every time we do this, we get more elaborities full and plenty sent in to us by texters who are listening.
It was a fantastic book.
It's the Bible for so many people. And it probably, again, goes back, Rory, to what we've been talking about. It's simple, and also the recipes work. You know that they're reliable.
They are completely reliable. It's an inspirational book, really, and as relevant as ever. And the great thing is that, though, that, you know, and sometimes if books don't have a glossy cover or there isn't 20 ingredients, people don't think it's current or prescient or current. And I disagree with that, as we've both been agreeing about. You know, and the great thing then is to stop for a few minutes and read the recipe from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she was a wonderful food writer, and everything was very thoughtfully put on the page. The aim being to give the cook every chance of success.
Madhu Jaffrey's Indian Cookery. You love that one too, from 1982.
Crucial. She brought it out actually to go to a TV cooking series, Indian Cooking, for the BBC. Every recipe I've tried from that book has produced absolutely delicious results. So if anybody who loves Indian food and hasn't dived in before, there'll be a little shopping list to start off with, but then you'll have those ingredients for the most part in your store cupboard. And then Indian Cookery is amazing as well, because you know, one recipe one day you might cook it with cauliflower, you cook the same recipe another day with potatoes or with broccoli. You know, there is a sort of a master recipe type element to Indian cooking, and it's delicious. Some of the dishes can be cooked really quickly. She is a genius food writer. She's also a brilliant actress, by the way.
Oh, right. OK, so that's one that we should look into. And again, if you're buying those spices, which may seem like a big outlay, they'll last for a while, don't they?
You
can store them and use them again. An Irish one that you like is by Dennis Cotter, the Cafe Paradiso.
Yeah, Cafe Paradiso has been a really important restaurant in the history of Irish food. A vegetarian restaurant. I think they've just celebrated 30 or 40 years. Sorry, Dennis, I should know that.
No, Dennis was with us. They have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. And he published an update to the book, I think, as well recently.
Yeah. And I should tell people that the restaurant is as wonderful and as good, as special as ever. And his cookery books are really important. And his food is beautiful. And he has such an emphasis on using the best quality Irish ingredients, particularly from County Cork, where Cafe Paradiso is in Cork City, in the county of Cork. And he's been a great champion of growers and producers. You know, he has absolutely not just talked the talk, but walked the walk. I would recommend his books highly. And they're also beautiful to look at.
Now, you've three cookbooks yourself, of course. Do you have a favourite, Rory, or is that a very difficult question for you to answer?
It's a bit of a difficult question. I suppose the first one I wrote because it took me so bloody long to do it, and I thought I'd never get it done. And it was called Master It. The idea being that it was full of sort of master recipes that taught you how to cook a certain thing, like a tart recipe. And then you could use that recipe throughout the year with whatever came into season. So you're getting the best food and the best value, because that's the thing about seasonal food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of all of them and thankful that I was asked to do them. But that, I think there's lots of really good recipes. Now, it has to be said, Claire, it's pretty wordy. I do bang on quite a bit. So you might need to sit down for 10 minutes or so to read through the recipe. But I promise you, if you read through the recipes, you'll be well armed.
Yeah, I can attest to that. They definitely work. Ethna has been in touch to say her sister in the United States uses Rory's Master at How to Cook today, and she loves it, and so does Ethna too.
That is so nice to hear. Thank you.
All in the Cooking from School, People's Home Economics Handbook.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting in touch saying that they're using that still and all of the time. Joan tells us that she got two little pieces of lemon sole, pan fried, skinned down first for a few minutes in oil and generous butter, and it was perfect.
Yeah, a feast. I mean, this is the thing. It can be a long list of fantastic exotic things that sound like they came from an oasis in the middle of a desert, but also it can be just a little bit of fish, a little bit of beautiful Irish butter, a pinch of salt, and a few little new spuds. And that can give you, you know, that will nourish you, but it can also make you very happy.
Rory, thank you so much, and lovely to talk to you again.
As always, thank you so
much. Rory O'Connell, chef and co-founder of the Ballymaloe Cookery School.